Welcome to the 90s podcast hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of 99 Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, power, engage, and also entertain. Today, we have Steven Zeiger. We're talking about insurance. We're talking about practices within the insurance industry. We are unmasking some things today, my friends. You don't want to miss this episode, unmasking permanent life insurance and what you need to know. Let's get it. We have Steven Zeiger on the call today on the 9 Innings podcast. I am impressed with your resume, my man. It's powerful. I saw you've graduated from Wharton. Is that right?
Yeah, they have an insurance degree. So I don't think I would have been able to get in on any other area, but for insurance.
I mean, your background is amazing. I mean, I'll start here. Managing Director of Verilytic. You're a National Association of Estate Planners and Councils. Now, that's powerful because what we're talking about has a lot to do with estate planning, which is what we're talking about today. USDOD, and also the Managing Director of KB Financial. So, I want to say this. First off, how do you find the time to do all of these things? I mean, you're an amazing person. So, I mean, where do you get the time to just interact with all these different agencies?
I think, you know, the way our firm is designed is that I can really be the outside ambassador, and then I have an amazing team backing me up. And that's really what gives me the time to, you know, I volunteer for the Department of Defense. I speak at, you know, CPA societies and bar associations. And I'm going to segue into something that's a little unexpected, but I really wanted to thank you for having me on today. You know, I had mentioned to you that my dad was drafted by the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Yankees. Yeah. And just to have that connection with you, that's like almost more meaningful to me than speaking at some of those bars of CPAs and CPAs.
Well, so yeah, you're right, man. I mean, the baseball thing, it's a pastime. Not that you and I had that conversation previously. Like, I don't necessarily watch it as much anymore. It's kind of slow, but you mentioned the Brooklyn Dodgers. That's a very interesting piece of it. I guess my question to you, like, you grew up in New York, right? And we talked about this previously. So I'm going to ask you again, Yankees or Mets?
You know, I think when your kids are so busy with soccer and tennis and lacrosse, you go through this sort of like black hole of social, right?
Yeah.
So actually, we're going to our first NFL game on Sunday, right? It's going to be 5 degrees out. We're going to see the Jets. Hopefully, they'll do well. And but boys, you need a little more adrenaline than baseball provides them.
Yeah, yeah. So the only reason I was a Yankees fan is because I played for the Yankees, right? So I can't say that I'm ultimately a Yankees or a Mets person. But at the end of the day, a lot of my friends who grew up in New York are either hardcore Mets or hardcore Yankees. But today, that's not what we're here to talk about. Of course, we're talking about something that you brought up to me I thought was very fascinating. So we're not going to mention any of the insurance companies' names because I want to respect their privacies, right? So one thing, how I normally talk about them is I worked for an insurance carrier that's a Marvel movie, right? So, and they go, and it's about the galaxy. They protectors of the galaxy. And you, sir, were at an agency previously that it's synonymous for weight, and not weight as in W-A-I-T. So let's just start with there. So you mentioned to me during our last conversation that you started there and some things happened. Can you walk me through what happened? And if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But yeah. What happened to change your ideology around insurance in this business?
Right. I worked for a great AAA rated insurance company, just like you. Mm-hmm. And one day a client of mine had a question and the insurance company wouldn't disclose the answer. Mm-hmm. And that was unacceptable to me because I was working with a prominent individual, a top 10 law firm, a top 100 accounting firm. And to go back to them and say, I don't have the answer, didn't work for me. And I started calling everyone I knew in the industry. And eventually I met an individual named Barry Schlag. He's the president of Verilytic. And I sent him the client's illustrations. And a couple of days later, some reports came back, and I'll show you some examples. Yeah. I said, well, explain the reports. And they said, well, this particular insurance company, their dividend is the same exact dividend as it was last year. And you want to know, why is the policy performing a little worse? Well, the insurance company increased their expenses, and they're not required to disclose that. Wow. So that was pretty powerful to me because I'm always trying to do the right thing. And after Verilytic showed me their patented research, I said, here's my credit card. Sign me up. This is going to help my clients have a better outcome. I went back to the insurance company. I submitted everything to compliance. And within 24 hours, they rejected everything. And wow. I said, how did this get rejected? I have a letter from FINRA that this is the only way to analyze life insurance that complies with FINRA regulations. And they said, your goal is to sell as much of our product as possible, not what's best for the client based on independent research. And I said, okay, whatever. How do I use it? And they said, quit your job and you can use it. Stay here and you can't. So I quit.
So you're telling me, and now I'm going to be clear. You're telling me that an insurance operator told us, or we're supposed to be a fiduciary and work in the best interest of the client. However, is it company first or client first? And as you can see in our field of practice, I've had those same conversations in the past with general agents, with corporations. When every time we go to a convention and go to a conference, what do they tell us? Insurance, insurance, insurance. This is how you sell it. This is how you sell it. But what happens is they teach these people how to sell it, but they don't teach these people what they're selling, right? And then there's all this internal mess, this internal math that they never understand. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But so what was your feeling around that? When they told you it's about sales and not about people, what was your first reaction?
How can I look at myself in the mirror tomorrow morning? Yeah. Right. I need to do what's right for my client, or I can't live with myself and I can't be in this industry. And I think what we're sort of getting at is, remember that show Password, where they would say a word? Remember Felix and Oscar, right? The word is that. Well, when people think of insurance, if we were on that show, people would say, yeah, it's protection. And then the next words out of their mouth would be, it's a frustrating experience. We can't tell, is the XYZ policy better than this policy? We can't tell what's going to lead to a better outcome. There's lots of conflicts of interest. The insurance agent says, I work for XYZ Planning Whatever Associates. And meanwhile, they're an employee of some insurance company. And lastly, when we speak to the advisors, the attorney, the accountant, the family office, the trust company, they say, we are fiduciaries and we're getting answers from non-fiduciaries. That's concerning to us. Yeah. So there's a lot of frustration, a lot of confusion. And that's why this independent research model solves all those issues. You don't need to go to sales school. You just need to go to learn how to understand a couple of bar charts. Much more easy.
And that allows you to kind of take yourself out and be the fiduciary in the relationship. Like, hey, A, B, and C, this is what we have. These are the costs. This is what's associated with it. This is the policy and how it's going to perform based on the analytics and us stress testing the policy moving forward. What you showed me, by the way, was the first time I've seen that. And I've been in the industry for 15 years. And it opened my eyes. So when we're talking about these like stress testing policies, what particular policy are we talking about? Are we talking about all permanent life insurance? Are we talking about the specific alphabet soup, whether it be the IUL, the VUL, the UL, or like Andy Ponko likes to say, the LLUL or the Ladies Love Universal Life? Like what are we talking about here?
Sure. So I think, you know, you'll see that a lot of my answers mirror the same answer you would give on the investment side, right? Mm-hmm. So no matter what someone is investing in, you want to get independent research from Morningstar, from Lipper, from Ibbotson, from Value Line. It's the same thing with life insurance, whether it's IUL, UL, VUL indexed. You want to get a customized, patented life insurance research report where you can see the five areas of life insurance suitability. What are the ratings of the insurance company compared to everybody else? What are the internal costs compared to everyone else in the marketplace? How does your premium compare to a benchmark of premiums from every other insurance company? Same thing with cash values, and same thing for the underlying returns, whether it's of the insurance company or the mutual fund like subaccounts in VUL.
So what were some of the first things you've noticed when you start using Verilytics? Like what was one of the first things that jumped out at you? Like, wow, I'm going to show this to my superiors, and they may be frustrated with this because they don't want people to know the ins and outs. So what led them to tell you to either open your own shop or sell their product?
Well, I think, you know, for the career agency firms, 85% of the business needs to go with that insurance company, or the model doesn't work anymore. And it's just like if I said to you, hey, Kevin, you know, sorry to hear that your printer broke today and you need a new one. Well, if you called the Xerox person today, they're not going to say, hey, Kevin, for your office, the Ricoh one's better, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen, right? So is it okay if I share my screen? I'll show you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Give me one second to, there you go. Okay. So show me a couple of, it's great. So we'll get right into it. Show some opportunities, show some illustrations. I want to, cause we mentioned some things. And again, what we're talking about is things that aren't, we're not going to use certain words. We're going to talk about misleading and things like that. So show us some examples of what you're talking about in regards to just costs, comparisons, and things of that nature.
Sure. This is actually the first case I ever did using independent research 15 or 20 years ago. But the systems have, the research has within it every whole life, every universal life, every variable, and every index. The research shows you, are you paying retail costs, lower institutional costs, or experience-rated costs? Mm-hmm. And let's get into the heart of this. This is a $12.2 million life insurance policy issued by MetLife. Mm-hmm. And MetLife here, they don't disclose their costs, but you can determine in Microsoft Excel or using independent research that MetLife is charging 17 cents per dollar of benefit for present value for all their costs.
Okay.
You can't tell what's cost of insurance charge, what policy expense, and what premium load, but you can tell that every year, 17 cents per dollar of death, if it disappears, and it's disappearing because it's hit the cost. Mm-hmm. This is the patented benchmark of every general account product in the United States. And you can see the other insurers are charging 23 cents per dollar of death benefit. But this individual is saving, you know, 6 or 7 cents per dollar, multiplied 6 cents per dollar times $12 million. You know exactly how much they're saving in internal costs by being with MetLife. And those internal costs result in lower premiums, more cash value, more death benefit, depending upon the design. And let's just look at the premium for a second. The premium for this policy is $260,000 a year in green. If we take the cash value and we transfer it to every other insurance company in the country, they're going to need a $350,000 annual premium. So we can see MetLife, that we know their ratings are good. We're not going to go through that. Here, their costs are low at this age. Premiums are low at this age. Let's look at the cash value. If we give $260,000 a year to MetLife, their cash value at the time of review is approximately $1 million. 40 years from now, it'll be $16 million. And if we give the same $260,000 a year to every other insurance company, we're going to have zero cash.
So, okay, let's just stop there. You do a lot of numbers there, which is great. And I appreciate this. So what you're showing is the benefit of using the system of Verilytic. And it's what it's showing you is the differences between the cost of a particular carrier versus the industry average. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
And then what you're also showing is the cost savings for this particular policy versus the overall industry. So the idea is this service allows you to put in the numbers, and this is what kind of got you away from selling a single product. It's basically just by saying, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm looking for a whole life insurance policy that with this type, with this much premium, what would it take? Like, what's the best carrier to go with based on this premium? And that gives me the most cash value. And this is what it produces. It produces the fact that, hey, I have more cash. This is the likelihood of success. And of course, it's not going to go to zero. So my question to this is, what would make a policy? And if you know this, if you don't, that's fine. Why is the green policy going so much higher than the other two? Is it strictly because of cost?
Yeah, the costs are lower, and it turns out MetLife's earnings are better. Let me show you the next page, because I think that's really what your listeners are going to be wowed.
Absolutely.
So this is the second policy on the same insured.
Mm-hmm.
They're with New York Life. Now, New York Life's a great company. They're the company you keep, not this one. But you can instantly look at this and say, why is New York Life charging me 32 cents per dollar of benefit if MetLife only needs 17 cents per dollar of death benefit? It's clear that New York Life might be a great company, but not at this age. And you can see their premium, the single premium that you need to keep this policy in force, it's substantially higher than the peers. And you can see down here, cash value significantly underperforms these of the peers because the costs are so much higher that the policy is not good, right? That simple. Can I just show you an IUL? I know you just had Andy Panko on.
Yeah. Shout out to Andy Panko for making this happen, by the way, because he's actually the one that they introduced us together. So this is awesome.
Exactly. So now let's pretend someone's looking at an IUL policy. Now we can instantly look at this and say, wait a minute. Look how high these costs are, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember if I had this page done correctly. I didn't.
It's okay. Well,
I'm going to go to page 24. We're going to, you know, when you go to church or temple and they do that responsive reading?
Yeah.
You and I are going to do some responsive reading. This is a Morningstar white paper. And let's just read this third bullet. Get it. If there's anything in the world that you can take to the bank, it's that the expense ratios help you make a better decision. In every single time period and data point tested, low-cost funds beat high-cost funds. So, Kevin, you're a fiduciary, you manage money, you're a bright guy, played for the Yankees. Do you think low costs matter in life insurance?
Do I think low cost matters in life insurance? If it's a yes or no question, I would say yes.
Yeah, right. If it affects investments, got to affect life insurance.
But I have to caveat that. Can I caveat that? But it's not 100% certainty that low cost will outpace a higher cost investment. That's what I would say.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now let's look at this IUL policy from Allianz. And Allianz, they must be good at certain ages. They must not be good at some other ages. But you can see here, look how much better this person would have to do investment-wise overcome costs that are substantially higher than everybody else's, right? So just at this age in this health class, they need to search for another insurance company that has lower costs because this policy won't perform well or it will need to take too much risk to do well. Make sense?
So let's back up a little bit because I like where you're going with this. And the main point of this conversation is that it's not the agents who are selling these products that are the bad individuals. No one's bad in this situation outside of the people that aren't teaching this information here, because the agent, once they put that illustration in front of you, they believe that illustration is telling them the truth. They believe that illustration is saying, hey, if this is what happens, the illustration is going to basically produce this moving forward. And what Steve is telling us is that actually the illustration day one, when they give it to you, is probably quote unquote, is the word you want me to use? Misleading?
Misleading. It might be right. Yeah.
Misleading. But the idea is that the agents don't know these things. Is that fair?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, if you want, we can walk through it. We had a case where an attorney called us up and said, we have a client, his brother-in-law wants him to borrow $569,000 a year from the local bank and pay that $569 a year into a life insurance policy. And then when the person was 65, they were going to take a loan from the policy of $14.6 million and pay back the bank loan. And they'd be left with a policy that needed no more premium, right? And so we hired a company called The Ethical Edge. I can show it to you. They took the illustration and they run it at 1,000 different permutations and combinations of the same return that the insurance company has. Mm-hmm. And it turns out 84% of the time, the policy fails. And the person said to me, hey, Steve, it's my brother-in-law. I'm about to have Thanksgiving dinner with him. Does he know that this thing blows up 84% of the time? And I said, maybe there's a 1% chance. But I said, the insurance company doesn't give us the tools to prove or disprove what they're putting in the illustration. That's why we use independent research, so we can prove it or disprove it for the clients and for the Kevin Thompsons of the world.
And that's, but the insurance companies don't want you to have that information because that leads to lower sales of their particular. But put my compliance hat back on. It may lead to lower sales of their particular product, and that's kind of the give and take in the industry. And that's what I felt when I worked for my Marvel character group. They were selling particular products, and I noticed that other products, even though I didn't have the analytics behind me, right, were producing better results. And I started going the other direction, and they say, hey, well, we need to have this much premium from this type of product because you work for this carrier. And that's the conflict of interest, and that's something that I appreciate you've provided me, because this knowledge is not there. And this is what needs to be produced in the industry if we want to have what we call a best interest standard in the insurance space. But we say we want a best interest standard, but my question to you is, do we want a best interest standard at this point? Because as you're producing right now, it doesn't seem to be that way, right?
Well, you know, I live in New York, and New York was the first state to implement a client's best interest regulation. It was called Regulation 187. Yeah. And insurance agents sued to overturn the regulation. But New York State Court of Appeals, the highest court in New York State, I got the exact date here. On October 20th, 2022, the New York State Court of Appeals constitutionally affirmed New York State's client's best interest regulation. It requires the use of care, skill, prudence, and diligence of a prudent person, the same fiduciary definition that you work under as a CFP. Here it's called client's best interest reg. So I
want you to kind of go through that one illustration that you showed me about the 16% or 16% success rate. I think people need to see that. I want you to kind of walk us through that if you can.
Sure, I will. Let me just, I'll share my screen in 1 second.
Yeah. But while you're looking for that, Steven, I mean, you do a phenomenal job, and you work in the ultra high net worth space. From an insurance perspective, I'm talking about premiums in the millions of dollars, and what you're producing for your clients, to me, and what you're standing for means a lot. So wanted to put that out there.
Thanks. And it's fun, right? I got to, you know, speak at the American Bar Association, the American Bankers Association, ACTEC, you know, FPAs, and I get to meet people like you because...
And you get to be on the Nine Innings podcast.
Amazing, right? And you could tell, I don't need to go to sales school, right? Yeah. All I need to do is learn how to present research, and the client wins and we win, right?
Exactly. Right. So what are we looking at right here?
Sure. So let me just give you a summary of what we're about to look at. We have a 42-year-old male, mm-hmm. and they want to buy $10 million of life insurance. Awesome. Index universal life policy. They're going to borrow $569,000 a year from a bank and place that money into a policy. Mm-hmm. And then when they're 65 years old, they're going to take a loan from the policy of $14.6 million, and they're going to pay back the bank loan. And then the insurance company said, in addition to having a policy, you can take out $556,000 a year tax-free from the policy. Right. Now let's go through the illustration.
By the way, before you go here, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this same story. This very same story. But go ahead.
All right. So here's the illustration. $569,000 a year in premium for 10 years in the red box. And then on the right side, it shows a death benefit climbing from $10 million to $17 million over the first 20 years. Mm-hmm. The cash, the premiums are invested in these two index, the US Pay Setter point to point, the balance trend point to point, And in this policy, there's a floor of zero, meaning if the market goes down, your loss stops at zero. And it's illustrated. So we'll show you the illustration, right? Nothing. Here's the next 20 years. So here you can see that's the $14.6 million loan coming out of the policy to pay off the bank loan. And then you can see here's a series of $569,000 a year, $556,000 a year coming out of the policy tax-free. The death benefit is $18 million. It falls to 3.9. And on the next page, the $556,000 a year tax-free continues until age 100. The benefit is $4.3 million, growing to $35 million. And then on the next page, if the person happens to live to age 120, the face amount grows from $41 million to $340 million. So the insurance agent is saying to the client, hey, this is done really conservatively. It runs to age 120. Look, even if it only lasts 105, it doesn't matter. You've been dead for 10 years. Right. Yeah. So the attorney comes to us and says, hey, is this lied or memorized? Is this real or fake? Mm-hmm. On the next page, we go to LISA, Life Insurance Sustainability Analytics. This is great. Shows here in green is the premium being paid. In blue are the tax-free loans. On the next page, in green shows the cash value of the policy. Blue shows the death benefit. And the difference between the two is the amount at risk. How much coverage are you really? And then we run the Monte Carlo simulation and we see that this person has a life expectancy at 88 years old. First failure occurs at age 65, meaning policy disappears. No policy. Even though it illustrates to 120, it fails at age 65. Half of the outcomes, there's the policy fails prior to age 69. And 84% of the time, their thing fails by the time it reaches 100. And then here you can see each year the odds of the failure. And then we go to the next page. What happens if we stop the series of loans from age 66 to age 100? Policy still, it only succeeds 54% of the time.
Wow. Right? Okay.
So pretty powerful, right? The other insurance agent's still arguing that it works, right? But this was a 10-minute presentation, and then the client is comfortable that, yeah, the scheme does not work.
Wow. So I like what I just saw there because it's proven it's numbers, it's math, right? I don't have to think about it. What is the system telling me? And as long as the inputs and everything are correct into the system. And that's why I've always said the day one you get an illustration and you put an illustration in front of a client, the very next day that illustration is irrelevant because things change. Policy loans, dividends, all these things change. And it's important to know that. And I feel, and again, I don't blame the agent. I blame the people that are teaching the agent, the companies, the GAs, the managing directors, all those guys. That's who I blame.
Yeah, no, I, you're absolutely correct. And the minute I saw this, I said, okay, how do I incorporate this into my practice? Because it's so good. I just have, you know, 2 seconds of my disclosures on the Monte Carlo sim. Yeah. And then and some 37 license, I'm supposed to show my contact information for 2 seconds, but let's just stop for 1 second and people sort of how to engage on this. So someone has a question, you know, they can email you, Kevin, and you and I can help them answer it, or they can email me. If somebody wants a copy of our article in Trust in the States magazine, you know, they could just text me at my cell phone, just write the letter T and I'll know that means Trust in the States magazine. If somebody wants to have a meeting, you know, they can text me a letter M. I know that doesn't mean they want to do business. It just means, you know, they want to learn more. And if they're a member of an organization, like an estate planning council or a bar association, and they want to speak about having us give this presentation to their members so everyone's clients can have a better outcome, you know, we're more than happy to, you know, we lead with education, just like you, right?
That's absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to say, yes, don't contact me. Contact Steven Zeiger. Contact him. His information is on the screen here because this is what he does. Again, I do it in a degree, but not to the degree that he does. Thank you for giving us this information. A couple more questions I got for you. Give me 1 second. I'll stop to share real quick. So I want to thank Andy Ponko for allowing this to happen because I think it's very valuable and the information and that you've provided. I did not know. And I've been in the industry. I got all these alphabet soup behind my name. But I have to believe that I know what I'm talking about because the illustration in front of me has to be right. But I also knew that day one, that illustration is irrelevant because a lot of the times it doesn't make sense. And we have people on LinkedIn that are battling. Oh, you could do this with the IUL. You can do this with this. And this right here proves to me, I can't use the word proof. It allows me to think differently that, well, people just don't understand how it actually works. Yeah, the illustration or the book, well, Nelson Nash says everything's going to work. You can borrow and be your own banker and all that stuff. It's glorious. But until you have the numbers like you have, I think it's all just hearsay and people just want to sell a product. I'm going to give you the last words, my friend, for this beautiful, beautiful day. And thank you for joining the 90s podcast. What do you want to leave the people with? Give them your 5 seconds of wisdom. More than 5 seconds, but I'm just giving you.
I don't even know wisdom. I think, you know, when you buy a car, you check Consumer Reports and you check JD Power to see, hey, is this car reliable? Should do the same thing with your life insurance. You know, when you buy a new toaster oven, you go to Consumer Reports. When you buy a diamond ring for your wife, right? You go to the Gemological Institute of America. So in everything we do, we go to an independent third party that has no financial stake in the outcome. And that's what everyone should do, you know, with their life insurance. All of this is publicly available. We've just figured out how to package it into a business.
Steven Zeiger, he helps fiduciaries and high net worth individuals, ultra high net worth. Ultra high net worth individuals with life insurance decisions. And he's helped me with my life insurance decisions today as well. Hey, I may shoot you a couple of policies over of my own to see exactly what it looks like, sure, if you don't mind. So you can give me some ideas on that. But
yeah, let's thank have you for a follow-up podcast on that. But Kevin, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And I'm glad we got to know each other through Andy.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining the 90s podcast, my friend.
Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You were on the 90s podcast with Steven Zeiger. We were talking about life insurance, the intricacies of it, the illustrations, and how they may not be what they claim to be. We were unmasking the intricacies of the life insurance, whether it be whole life insurance, whether it be universal life, whether it be IUL, VUL, AUL, OUL, LUL, LLUL, all the LLs out there. The ladies love universal life. And Andy Ponko, thanks for the shout out, my friend. Thank you for getting Steven Zeiger on the call today. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. You have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. Thank you guys for listening to the 90s podcast. Ladies love universal life. Stay humble, stay safe, my friends. I'll see you again soon.